morning. And but anyhow, tonight we're going to be reading in the third chapter of Acts. I'm thankful for the Holy Scripture. I'm thankful that the Lord, if we read it, we can find out right there in there how maybe some of us should conduct ourselves. You know, I think a lot of times we read these things, and I can remember as a little child looking at the family Bible, and I don't know where the pictures came from in that family Bible, but they were painted, I guess, during the Elizabethan period, and you've probably seen them. They'll have halos over Jesus Christ or over Saint Peter or over some of the apostles. And you know, I think we get in our mind a lot of times that these were great and wonderful people, and they were, but they were average people just as well. They were people just like me and you that had chose to be used of God, chose to be obedient to His will, and I'm thankful because of that, that we can read in the Scripture. You know, I think about Jesus Christ, and I think about how He spoke to the masses, and the Sermon on the Mount, and that there were so many people there. But if you truly ponder upon it, that it was an individual ministry, was it not? Not only what He said, but Peter and Paul and all of them, though they preached to a crowd, the Lord touched each and every person individually. And I'm thankful of that. I'm thankful it don't take a crowd. I'm thankful that the Lord come to the hills of Galilee, and I spoke to a lot of people that were as down to earth as you could be. And that's what I want to be tonight. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to start in the first verse of the third chapter of Acts. And as we read this, think about what the Lord done to, for this man that sat by the gate called Beautiful. And think about what He's done for you. Or think about maybe what He hasn't done for you that He will. Okay, now it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms." And it says here, "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, and expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, now listen, and he leaping up, stood and walked, and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which had set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." This is a very important passage of Scripture, a passage of Scripture that we preached from before. But you know, I was thinking about that. I got a telephone call, and I dozed off to sleep there on the couch. And I jumped up, and that was the thought that entered our mind. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. I don't know what I do know. What that lame man that had sat there many a day, he come there, he couldn't make it on his own, Trent, but he had to have somebody to help him, and he sat there at the gateway of the temple, begging alms. I didn't have a means of which he could make his own living. He didn't live in a welfare state. So there he sat at the gate. And as people come from the temple and left the temple, he'd ask them to give him some money. And there was one day, I don't know, I reckon it was like any other day, and he got up trying to get it. I don't know where he lived, but he tried to get himself together so that his friends could come by there and take him to the gate. But this day was a little bit more special, or a lot more special, than the days that had gone by. Because little did he know that he was going to come in contact with one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. A man that was not wealthy by no means, but a man that had something that was worth more than any silver quarter, any gold piece that ever rattled in his skin. What he had was salvation. What he had was the healing power of God. When old Peter said, "Look on us," what do you think about it? If the world's looking at you today, what do you got to offer them? Do they see anything different? Are they able to see by the light that you live that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? Oh, Peter didn't have money in his pocket. I wonder if when he heard when the old when the cripple heard him say, "Look on us," and he was thinking, "My, I've got the attention of somebody. They're going to give me some money." But what he received that day filled him with joy. Made his pulse race. Made him able to get up on his feet and go to the house of God. I can think about myself when I was lost. That was one place I didn't want to go. Didn't want to go to the house of God. Didn't fit in there. They was a little bit too emotional. They would cry and testify. They would sing. And they would have tears run down their eyes. And I thought that was foolishness. Oh, but I'm glad that what they had, they passed on to me. I can truly say that preacher that preached and brought conviction to my heart wasn't a rich man. But silver and gold had I done. Oh, but such as I have, give I thee. Do you have it tonight? Come look on us and see if it is good. I can truly say that the Lord's been good to me. I'm not serving him, and I'm not trusting in him because of his blessings. Though he's blessed me many a time, I'm serving him because he is God, because he is that Jesus of Nazareth that'll live in your heart, that'll cause you to be like his cripple and leaping and praising God. He wasn't quiet and reverent, was he not? But he was rejoicing that he no longer had to sit the gate, but that he could walk in with his brothers and sisters and go to the temple.
Bless him, Lord.
That predicament that he was in, I guess you would say physical ability, a disability rather, kept him from going in that temple. Kept him, no doubt, people. When they seen him, they thought, he sure looks like the one that sits down there at the gate. But you know, I don't know how it was. We know that a lot of times that I don't know how beautiful it was there at the gate. It had to be beautiful if the gate was called that, did it not? But as he sat there on the ground, you know, he probably was a little dirty from getting there. I don't know how trouble he was with his infirmity. If he had people, I didn't have wheelchairs back then. You know, I can remember seeing this one fella. He didn't have his legs, and he would he'd get out of his chair, and because he lost them in World War II, and they was all right there, he walked on his hands, and he had it was kind of like a burlap bag. That he had up and he tied it around him. And he walked on his bottoms and his hands. And because of that, he got a little dirty. I reckon this man, that hadn't had no use of his legs all of his life. He kind of drug himself around. So then, I wonder how worn his clothes was when they looked at him and said, "What he kind of looks like that fella that sits at the gate." And then maybe one of them said, "Wait a minute, look there. His clothes are worn off on the side. Oh, where he's dug himself. Surely that is the man." But they didn't have to wonder very long, because he is praising God, thanking God for what he done. Are you today? Are you still sitting outside the gate? Have you experienced that joy that'll enter your heart? That'll cause you to see yourself as you were. There's a lot of people I talk to, and they tell me, they say, "Darrell, I'm a pretty good person.
sin. Well, you might be, but there's a lot of people in hell that think highly of themselves. But what it takes is coming into contact with that Jesus of Nazareth, that one that will heal your sin-sick soul, that one that will give you joy unspeakable and full of glory, the Bible says, that one that will cause you to raise your hand and say, thank you, God, for saving me from the devil's hell. Oh, I did not think what's it, a greater miracle, what was performed here, or what he's done for me and you. This man could not walk. Me, myself, I was walking in sin. I had a home and it was called hell, and I was on my way there. No way, no means of escaping it within myself. But then I heard the message that this old crippled man heard when he said, "Thou he called me out by name, as the Lord ever spoke your name, and the Lord ever sent anybody your way to tell you about the good news." Well, I'm so glad through the abundant mercy of Jesus Christ that I heard it when I was 12 years old, and I can remember it oh so well. I was laying there in the bed in the middle of the night. I'd got into some trouble. There was some things that if I knew my parents knew, I felt that they would probably think a lot less of me. I even questioned after what I'd done and the lies I told, if they'd even still love me. And I can remember laying there and thinking, if I die, I'd go to hell. And then I begin to say, Lord, I know you see it all, and why do you still love me? Lord, I know that you know just who I am. Why on earth did you die for me? And then he begins to tell me, I come for you now so that you might have life everlasting. I come that you not need to live in sorrow. Well, you can live life all by yourself, but why do you want to? A lot of people live and to their old man and die without God. You can do it, but why would you want to? Because there's never been nobody stood all by themselves that's ever made it into heaven. It takes Jesus Christ, and it takes him inside. Look on us is what the disciples said, Peter and John. If the world looks on you, do they see a child of the King? They had better. Why? Because somebody was faithful to call out to you.
Bless you, Lord.
And tell you about Jesus. Don't we owe it to the world?
Yes, Lord.
To do the same. Earl, sure get worked up. I'm thankful.
God bless you, Lord.
That we serve a God. The Bible says we'll quicken our mortal bodies. Thankful that I had in my mind what a Christian ought to be. When I come to the Lord, when He healed me of my sin-sick soul, you know, I think when you read in the four Gospels how the Lord touched the cripple, when He healed the blind man, and he received his sight. I know that the Lord done that, but He was trying to communicate to us that are unable, because of our disabilities, because of our limitations, unable to reach God. God has made a way. God has put underneath us legs to be able to walk that righteous road. Eyes
We know that there were those that were blind. How could you, listen now, how could you explain a sunset to a man that was born blind? You just can't do it. How can you even begin to explain the basic colors in our environment? You know, you can take a man, maybe he's blind at the age of 12, and you can say, oh my, I just seen this pretty car, and it went by, and he can say, oh really, what was it? And you know, if you told him it was, let's say it was a Mustang, and you know what, in his mind he's going to think about those Mustangs that he's seen when he was 12. But if it's this year's Mustang, well, that's probably a bad example, because they come out looking like the old boss. All right, a Camaro then. You would think about that old Camaro, but it don't look nothing like it. But you could explain the color to him. Maybe it was a pretty, a deep dark red. And you could tell him, Elias, it's the color of a rose. And he did that picture in his mind. How could you tell that to a man that has never seen any color at all? Born from his birth, blind from his birth. If you told him it was the color of the rose, think about it. If he's had any contact with the rose, all he has experienced is pain. If he was to reach out in his blindness, if he was to stumble in to a rose bush, he couldn't see the beauty of it because he's blind. That's the way I was when the Lord went deeper to me. I was blind and seeing. I thought to myself, I don't want it. I don't need the Lord. I don't want His ways, because in my blindness, all I seen was the thorns. I watched my grandfather. He was a man of God. He preached, and he preached God's word, and he didn't compromise. And because of it, he lost so many a friend. But it was family members that wouldn't even talk to him. Why? Because they asked him a question. They asked him to tell them the truth, and all they did was speak God's word. And I thought, why on earth would I want to experience that hardship? I tell you, it was because I'd never seen the beauty of that road. But I want to tell you, if the Lord will remove the scales off your eyes, and He will tonight, look on us and come and see that the Lord is good, that He is faithful and true. I serve a God that can heal us from our infirmities. Are you dying of a sin-sick soul? Have you experienced salvation to the marrow of your bone? But you know what? You can take an old glass filled with mud. I've got my own pitcher. My wife the other week said, I broke your big glass, and I had two of them. I was thinking about my old big mug, and I thought, oh my, I'm going to have to have a job. And I thought, I got to run to Walmart and get me another one of them glasses. But she spoke of another. I got this big glass, and it takes half the picture in the refrigerator to fill it up. But you know what? When I'm done bringing it, I don't have to go back for seconds. But listen, if I was to fill that up with mud and put it, sit on the table, or if my wife was to do that for me, and she said, dinner's ready, and I come in there, and I said, what on earth are you trying to feed me? Oh, the glass there on the table is full of mud. And she used to say, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot it's dirty. And she took the wash rag, and she used to begin to clean the outside of it. Would it look any different? That's what the world's trying to do. There's scrubbing on the outside, but it's still full, filled on the inside. And it won't quench your thirst. But what I offer tonight, it'll fill your soul. And you'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt
that when you're raised from the altar, you can be like this old cripple, leaping and praising God. How you praise God for what He done. Oh, that's good. But I'm thankful as Christians even, we can praise Him for what He will do. Let's get some song to sing.
Bless you, Lord.
The Bible says, if you was to read on further, they was really at a fix and a dilemma. And that this man was healed. But what disturbed them the most was is that these men done it in the name of Jesus Christ. A fellow they had just got done putting away with and thought they'd never have to hear his name again. And while here was a man that was healed. This wasn't a man that had walked around there. Can you imagine how his legs? Have you ever seen somebody? I was noticing, I've got a bull, and I'm a little concerned about it. I've got a bull that's been limping around some, and he carries this one foot, and I thought, he'll come out of it. He won't let me get close to him. I was pushing him out of the gate tonight, and because of their winter coat, a cattle will get a big old thick heavy winter coat, and they just look all fuzzy, and I thought, I was in a hurry, and I opened up the gate, and he wouldn't get out, and I went to push on him, and up on his hip, it's sunken in because he hasn't used that leg for such a long time. My boss, he fell off a roof and a compound fractured his leg, and the bone was sticking out at his ankle, and he broke several ribs, and he laid up and he laid so long that within an air boot that he lost all the muscle in his legs. Can you imagine how this man must have looked? A man that had never walked his whole life. His legs, no doubt, were shriveled up, but a great miracle had happened, and they were distraught to think, go ahead. They was distraught to think, what are we going to do about this? And they had a problem because he was healed in the name of Jesus Christ. The world still yet today, let us stand. The world still yet today has a problem with that name, do they not? Oh, there's a lot to use it, but they really have a problem when the promise is made that there is still power in that name. He'll still save you from a sin-sick soul. He'll still cleanse you. I heard when I was walking out the door that they're trying to outlaw Santa Claus now. You know, that's what the old devil tried to use to get Christ out of Christmas. But there's those that have such a hatred of God that they think we even got to get rid of Santa Claus. Because somebody might ask, why on earth is this Christmas? Why does Santa Claus give gifts? And that the gospel might be heard. The devil's not content just to have you sit on the bench and do nothing. He wants you for his own. He wants. He rejoices in the day where the angels will bind them hand and foot and cast them in a bottomless pit. So all you all are bragging rights. That's what the devil. So we can say that one is mine. He don't care about you. What Jesus Christ does.
Bless you, Lord.
Just read this little passage once again. Peter here took him up by the right hand, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
Have you ever had an experience that would cause you to act that way? There's been a lot of people I've seen on the news, men coming back from Iraq, missing limbs, and I'm just amazed at how some of them are so resilient.
walking with artificial legs and determined through this process. I seen one man, you could see the beads of sweat on his head as he was there on the treadmill and the pain that he was enduring to build up his strength. You know, this man had lived his whole life lame. But one thing we cannot do is get to heaven without Christ Jesus.
Right.
And I'm thankful that what the Lord has done for me is a greater miracle than what took place here.
Right.
And that's why I get a little emotional, why I get a little excited. Because I was damned to hell until Jesus saved my soul. You can live life without a leg, but you can't make it to heaven without Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad He's made the way? All we have to do is repent of our sins and believe in Christ Jesus, and we can have life eternal. And we too can be like a cripple, walking and leaping and praising God. Give me a week sitting on my legs, I can walk. Can you imagine sitting on your legs a week? It just ain't going to happen. You're going to jump up and walk around and leap and jump. I drove a truck a little bit. I rode in cars and went on long trips. Get out of that car and my leg would be dead. Last thing I was going to be able to do is jump around. I'm thankful when the Lord touches you and then He heals you, that you can receive strength. You can accomplish that very thing that needs to be done. I love you. Turn it back over to Danny.